Good evening and thank you for coming tonight. Tonight, as we announced this morning, we want to spend a good deal of the time in prayer and thanksgiving for our congregation and the challenges that lie ahead. Is Clement here? There you are. You're leading our first prayer. I had to find you. All right. Okay. I began to think on this particular format this week as I was considering prayer. In my own life, I found prayer to be a most challenging practice. As I stated this morning, it's the easiest thing we do and sometimes the hardest. In other words, we talk all the time and it's easy to express ourselves with words, especially privately, but often we lack that focus or even the remembrance, if you're like me, to pray as we should. It is my opinion that as we move from here to another location, that we're going to have specific challenges that we all, pulling together, will, by the Lord's help, be able to not only meet the challenge, but turn them into victory. But we're going to have to pull together even more possibly than we've ever done before and rely upon one another and encourage and lift up one another's hands. I couldn't help but think as Jeff was praying, leading us in prayer earlier, Jeff, I guess, is arguably the person who prays the most for the thanks and thanks God for all of us. And I want to thank you for that. Oftentimes we don't remember to do that, but that is so important. We're living in an age where it is so easy to say, well, I'm spiritual. I read my Bible, I pray, I think about God, but I just don't want to be involved with any religious group. I don't want to be involved with an organized group, and there is a good reason for that, in my opinion, and that is I don't want to be accountable. I don't want to take on the responsibility of looking after people and to be concerned about them and to talk with them and to encourage them if they get discouraged and to be encouraged by them. We live in a very isolated age now. Someone has said, and I read books about this sort of thing because it interests me, we're the most connected people through our various social media and cell phones and Facebook, we're the most connected people in the world, in the history of the world. And someone observed possibly the most lonely. Do you think about our technology, how it tends to isolate us, where we just pull to ourselves? Well, we're not going to change the technology. We might as well use it to great advantage because it is a wonderful tool to get the messages out, et cetera, et cetera. I know if you're like me, I get tired of all the emails that I get that I don't want. But to me, that is a small price to pay for the ability to send all of you a message or to get a message from all of you or to learn what's going on in our group. And I'm grateful for that ability. Wouldn't change it, even if I had the ability to change it. Well, what will be the challenges for us? Well, one, I listed three this morning, and there are others, of course. This is just one man's opinion. There will be the challenge of leadership. As a group grows, there needs to emerge more and more leaders. And yes, I am talking about elders, but I'm also talking about those who serve in other ways. Deacons who serve us in seeing that the physical facilities are ready and are prepared and they're there for us to use in an efficient way. Well, this building is not that large compared to what we're going to be moving in. That's going to be a greater challenge. Keeping the grass mowed, doing et cetera, et cetera. If you noticed, we should have sold this building to these folks, you know, a couple of decades ago. They've kept it up a lot better than we ever did. I mean, now, I don't wish to diminish anyone's efforts in that way, but that's just my observation. Well, we're going to have a much larger facility. to maintain. We've got to have people who take that on and who do it diligently and efficiently, who take care of that in order that it might be used in the best way. Then we need leadership in our classrooms, both men and women, who lead in discussing. One of the reasons that we went to 3 classes this summer is because of we need more Bible class teachers. God can provide those things if we are willing. So these are some of the challenges of leadership. Leadership on all levels. Those that I am able to lead through teaching, et cetera, are the ones I cannot lead through teaching. Maybe you can. Maybe it's a demographic group that better relates to you than to me. Leadership on all levels. Then secondly, there is the need for a greater sense and a bigger sense of family, that we're caring for one another. One of the things that I try to impress upon people, it isn't just what I'm getting, it's what I'm able to give. The responsibility of knowing about you, and whether or not you need caring for, or what things you need to be taught, things that we need to be doing together in order to be encouraged. God put us into local families for a reason. And one of the reasons is we just need one another. Have you noticed how many times in the scriptures it uses the word one another? One another. We are in a one another religion. And God knew that you need me. And even more, I need you in order to be what God wants me to be. And then thirdly, we have the challenge of evangelizing our world. Our world will be a little bit different in another place, much similar, of course. We're not moving, you know, hours away. You know, it'll take me 6 more minutes to get to that building than it does here. I drive 6 minutes here. I've timed it. I got the shortest route, I think, mapped out. It takes me 12 minutes to get there. You say, John, we have to drive 40 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever it is. I want to thank you for doing that. Be quite honest with you, I wouldn't do it. I just moved close to the building where I don't have to do that. But you've chosen, you like to live where, and I'm not telling you to move. If you want to move, that's fine too. But I'm not telling you to move. But I want to thank you for putting in the time that it takes to make the effort to be with your brethren. And therefore we can build together. I'll have more to say about each segment of our prayer. So I thought it'd be appropriate for us just to spend an evening for whatever time it takes. And I'll be through with my comments in a moment. And Clement is going to lead our prayer for our first category, that is our leadership. And I want us to think broadly. We're not just speaking of our elders, though we are including them, all of you who lead in whatever capacity. I ask you, what is the purpose of leadership, spiritual leadership? What's the purpose? Well, I want to read a passage from Hebrews the 13th chapter. I'm going to start reading verse 10. But we're going to read down through verse 17. Now, context, of course, is so important in understanding the focus that a given text has or a given verse. We're going down to verse 17 where it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. As those who will give an account, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. That's where we're going. But look what context it is in. First, verse 10. We, that's all of us, have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Now that doesn't mean possibly a whole lot to us as it would to them. Why? This book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who were in danger of going back to Judaism. Why? well, it isn't maybe panning out the way they thought it would. Persecution. And he mentions that earlier in the letter. Persecution. Plus the fact that they had been brought up in a religion that was so visual, sensory. They could smell the sacrifices. They could see the high priest. They could see the beautiful clothes. They could see the temple. They could sense it on all the physical sensorial level. And now, what do they got? They're meeting in a little upper room. That's common in Scripture, mentioned a couple of times. You know, it wasn't appointed in some luxurious way like the temple was. And don't you know that their relatives would, where's your high priest? There's our high priest. Just look at him, how well he's dressed. Well, our high priest, where is he? Well, he's in heaven. Well, where are your sacrifices? Here are ours. Well, he's our sacrifice. Well, that looks like a defeat. You could see how the comparison that could be made by friends and family would make that Christian feel like, well, we've made a mistake here. We've made a mistake. You might liken it to a child who's grown up, let's say, in a large congregation where they have a beautiful building, well-appointed grounds, always had other children their age to play with at church and developed a strong relationship with them. And on and on. They've just grown up in that all of their lives. Beautiful singing. Just everything about it was just so wonderful, at least especially to their small minds and as they were growing up. And then they leave home, they move off somewhere where there's just a half a dozen who meet in a little house somewhere. What are they going to think? Are they going to stick with it? Because they're doing what they can read in Scripture. These are Christians. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. Or do they have to have all this other in order to make it something they want to participate in? I tell you, travel can really help you when you see brethren who meet in all types of circumstances, situations. And I'll never forget when I first went to Russia, I thought, boy, this is the ugliest place I've ever been in my life. I've just got to endure this. And I was only going to be there for 2.5 weeks, something like that. I said, oh, well, I can tough it out for that amount of time. And we met in a little place. We were all kind of, you know, we had to rent a little library reading room. We all met in there, and everybody, of course, had to ride public transit. And, you know, you had to ride practically all morning to get to this place in this big city of Nizhny Novgorod, Russia. But I'll tell you, after a while, meaning after about the second or third meeting together, I said, I can live here. Something impressive about people who are willing to travel 3, 4, 5 hours just to be with their brethren. Of course, in that circumstance, it wasn't just an hour and a half, 2 hours. You know, we'd meet for 4 or 5 hours, as long as we could get the room. Why? Wanted that support. Wanted to be among people who are striving for the same thing. So important. Why leadership? In order to facilitate that coming together. First, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Four, the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. That was what was mandated about the sin offering. You offered the animal, they did the deal with the blood, but ultimately the carcass would be hauled outside. Why? Because it represented sin. Other sacrifices you didn't do that to. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Just like those animal sacrifices had to ultimately be disposed of outside the camp or the gate because they represented sin, Jesus went outside the gate. And literally, the scriptures say the Golgotha, as we call it, Calvary, as others call it, was outside the city. It's metaphorical. He had to go outside of Judaism. That was the reason they killed him. Because he went outside of Judaism. He pointed out their hypocrisies. They were ready to, they killed him for that. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. I'll tell you, when you get a group of people, and we have them here, who are seeking that eternal city, they don't get so involved in life that they have no time to remember God or to be with their brethren. They don't allow that. That's important. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, then he defines it, the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. He mentions two categories of sacrifices: our worship, fruit of our lips, prayer, singing, speaking the word of God, and sharing with those, helping others, sharing what we have. And then he says, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. I think it ought to be the goal of every Christian to live their life in such a way that they say to their leaders, you can count on me. You can count on me. I'll follow your leadership. As long as you're leading within the confines of the Word of God, I want to be a team player. I want to be someone who serves in such a way as to follow your lead, to encourage the Bible class teacher, to encourage those who care for us in physical ways, to encourage those who lead us spiritually. Okay, Clement, if you'd come, please, let us pray.
Bow with me, please. Our Father in heaven, we want to first thank you for allowing us to be your children, for making it possible for us to be your children. We thank you for being our Father. We do not take it for granted. We thank you, Father, for giving us a core of people to help accomplish your work in this family. We thank you, Father, for our elders, our shepherds. We thank you for the appointed servants among us. We thank you for the teachers among us. Father, we want to plead with you to be with Tom, one of our shepherds, because he has health concerns. We pray that you be with him. He's a man that loves you and loves your children. We pray that you bless him and be with him. But Father, broadly, we want to thank you for those that guide the work within this family. I want to specifically thank you for Rick, for Traxel, and for Tom. Father, we want to thank you also that we have men that are dedicated to serving you, that teach day in and day out, that teach the Bible classes, that teach in word, that teach by example, men that have a love for you and for your children. Our Father, as we grow, which we do, thank you for the growth that's coming. We already see it, Father, and we thank you so much. We want it. We want to grow your kingdom here on earth. We thank you for it. As we grow, we need additional people to work in your kingdom. Father, we pray that you bless us with more men that can take on the day-to-day activities of the church. We will need more appointed servants, more deacons, to take the load off our shepherds. We will need more shepherds to guide the soul of your children to you. Father, to me, it's a very serious task to do your work. And it's an even more serious task to be responsible for the souls of children that you love so dearly. Father, you loved us even before we were obedient to you. We cannot imagine how precious our souls are to you. And to leave that guidance in the hands of men is a rather serious task and responsibility. But Father, you have the wherewithal to guide the men that are shepherds of your children. Our Father, we pray that you bless the leaders of this congregation with love, especially for you. And let it be magnified in the love for your children. Again, Father, we accept you as our Father. Do not allow us to ever take it for granted. Bless us as your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And then our second area of prayerful thought is in regard to our family here, our spiritual family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and the spirit and attitude of cooperation and dedication to one another that we want to grow and to increase more and more. It's been my observation that you always have to first start with the willing, with those who want it. And though you would like for everyone to be excited and want to come, it be with us all the time, every time that we can meet, I don't see that that will ever be accomplished 100%. And I don't think we should allow that to discourage us. I remember when we started here in a little house, sitting right where I'm standing. I'd be right in the kitchen. Right. No, the kitchen was in the back. Sorry. I was standing up by the front door, and the kitchen would be about where Marcy and Michael are. That's how big it was. And we had a window unit right here that cooled us. And it was loud. And I had to be loud in order to get over the rumble of the window unit. And I remember when Yellow Jackets got into the place one sermon, and I was preaching and everybody was looking, and so I finally said, well, this isn't working. So we shut it down. Finally, we got the Yellow Jackets out, and we went on with the service. The little one bathroom was right kind of where Daniel is, right there, not that far over, but kind of in the middle of the aisle. And if we had one little boy that every time he needed to go to the bathroom, he would sing. So we could sing, we could hear his songs. It was the Tory Bryan. He's now the air conditioning contractor on our building. So if you want to bring up something embarrassing, you just tell him about, we used to listen to his songs as he was in the bathroom and during the sermon or whatever. We could hear Tory in there singing. But normally it would be him. So, so that was all right. And then about where Jeff was a little bedroom. That was one class. And then there was another classroom right back here. And, of course, the auditorium was here in the living room, dining room, and the kitchenette was back there where Michael and Marcy are. That was it. And there were 30 of us. Approximately 15 adults. That was it. The rest children. And that's how we started. And we were excited. And they asked me to come and preach for them. And the reason they asked me, because they'd asked everybody else in the country, and they'd all said no. And they couldn't find anybody to say yes, and so they finally called me. And I didn't mind that I was not only not the third, fourth, fifth choice, I was the last choice. It's just the only one. And the only qualification that you had to have is that you had to be willing to go. And I was. So we began in that fashion. And in many ways, it was a lot easier to be very close in that small group than it is in a larger group. That's just the nature of groups. So what are our challenges? Many of us live distances away. We're going to have to therefore maximize the times that we can be together during our worship times. We hope by the use of this building, I'll be officing there, and when Scott comes, he'll be officing there. There'll be a room for a church office, and the Bible correspondence course will be there. There'll be a workroom, a large workroom will be there. It's huge. It's the largest room we have. And they have other large rooms. We hope that it will be a place that people will want to come during the day and work on things and be together and share in the things and be a place of teaching and a place of building one another up. Well, how's that going to work? Well, we're going to have to develop more and more. We got to start with the willing, and I'm looking for the main at the willing. He said, well, we had a lot more this morning. Yes, we do. We have had for many, many, many years. We don't want to write them off, but we want them to know, come and share more with us. Come and be a part of us. Be a part of our Bible classes. Take a part in that. Share in that. And then we want to develop and more people to serve among ourselves in all areas of service. Now, in so doing, we want to thank God, as Jeff has already done, for all the people who have been workers here. We need workers on every level, every level. Those who do all kinds of things, for no one can do it all. And we want to build that more and more. Now we want to come and ask God to help us to do that very thing. And we've asked, for some reason, you should Tell your brother to change his name from Landry Taylor so that I get it right. It's Taylor, that's Taylor. I always call him Landry because that's his brother. And for some reason that sticks. Taylor's going to lead us in prayer.
Bow with me. Lord, we come to you this evening to praise you. We praise your name. We praise your ways. We praise your plan of salvation. Your plan that includes a family that many in this world will never know. A family that we are bound by your love and the sacrifice of your Son. A family that we can be together in sorrow, together in joy. And we can strive to be together in heaven with you after this life is over. We ask that you help us to be together as a family. We ask that you help us support each other in our endeavors. Help us encourage each other and love each other. Help us care about each other in a way only a family can, and to fulfill our duties to each other. We thank you for creating this family for us. One with an all-knowing, all-loving Father, with Christ our brother as an example and as a friend, and with countless brothers and sisters before and after us, around us and away from us, to share in the good news of salvation and the ability to build that family under your name. We ask that you help us utilize this family as you intended us to be encouragers, to be workers together. We ask that you keep us close to each other. Help us support that family from within. Help us to carry the name of Christ with us everywhere we go, and to know that we have a bond that no one else can compare to. Not even our physical families can compare to the family that you've created for us, that we're all members together of. We ask that you help us fulfill what we should fulfill as a family here, as a group here. It's in Christ's name we pray.
And now as we turn our thoughts outward to taking the gospel to people who do not know the gospel and also welcoming those who possibly are Christians who will come to us, we trust God that he will lead them to us and us to them. But what will many of the people be looking for? Why would we be a place that they would want to be a part of? Well, it's tied to our first two areas. Does it have good leadership? Do we have good teachers? Do we have people who know the book and who keep directing us back to the Bible? Secondly, is there a family there that I can be a part of? Are there children there that my children can get to know and to be encouraged by? When I take my children to Bible class, will they be the only ones in the class because the other children are not brought, do not come? That counts. People think about that. When I come, am I just going to be one of the very few? Or will there be others who are excited as I am excited about being together and singing and being a part of a church that wants to be together as much as they can? That all helps. That builds a family that we are very, in my judgment, we are a very friendly church. We welcome people. We try to reach out to them, to serve them. But I'm wondering if we're not, in some areas, dropping the ball at other times because they bring their children and their children are the only ones here. Let's see if we can change that. Let's see if we can help people to see how important that is, that everybody is contributing, your children as well. If I come and my family or a family comes and they're with a little baby, do they see others there with little babies? Do they see others who are young? Or do they see others who are old like me? That helps. That will help us. So, as we bring our service to a conclusion, Tim will lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving in regard of taking the gospel. We want to reach out to people in a way that we have not yet done, more efficiently, more conclusively, inclusively. We are drawing up plans. They're still all on the drawing board. You will be asked in due time to put in your ideas of how we can do this better. We're going to be in a new neighborhood. We certainly want everybody around us to know about us, to know that we welcome them. We want to have an opportunity to teach them and to be with them. All of that's going to take all of us to do that. It's going to be a wonderful work together. And of course, Scott and his wife are coming, and they're going to help us do that as well. Tim, if you would, please.
Before I pray, I want to remind us of two incidences in the life of Jesus that I've kind of built into this prayer, at least some of the sentiments. First one is the Jesus's parable of the farmer or sower in the New Testament. If you remember, Jesus talked about sowing the seed or spreading the seed is like a farmer going out and spreading seed in the field. And of course, there was four types of soil that this seed fell on that represented the hearts of people. There was the hard soil in which the seed was just rejected out of hand. There was the rocky soil in which the seed sprang up quickly, but because it was in a rocky soil and had no depth to it, it quickly died when the sun came up. The third was seed falling on thorny ground, which sprang up and actually lived, but it didn't really produce anything. Unfortunately, that's the one I think most of us, myself included, need to be really concerned about. And the fourth is the good soil that fell on, which represented the good heart. And you know, the seed yielded all kinds of blessings to the word and to others. So how do we know then when we go out to evangelize what a person's heart is, which soil they are? Not our problem. Actually, not our problem. What we are charged to do is, in our actions and in our conversations with others, is to spread the seed. That's what we're charged to do. The second incident I wanted to call to mind, because it actually uses a slightly different metaphor, builds on that a little bit, is the disciples when they came back to Jesus when he was speaking to the woman at the well. We usually stop at that first little part, but it's really interesting what the encounter was with the disciples. And unfortunately, I think their actions represent me and perhaps many among us. They were focused on the physical, and Christ was focused on the spiritual. They had gone off to buy food to eat. And when they came back, I'm going to read from starting in John chapter 4, verse 33. This is the New Living Translation. The disciples ask, "Did someone bring him food while we were gone?" Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God, who sent me, and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants and another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done that work before. And now you will get together the harvest." Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we praise you for your power, your mercy and grace and love to all your creation for all times. You alone, Lord, possess the spiritual seed of salvation through the word of your Son, our Savior. This is the nourishment that we know is needed by the souls of our family members, our friends, neighbors, co-workers, acquaintances, and those that serve us in places like the grocery store, restaurants, and doctor's offices. And even our enemies need this word, Father. Help us, Lord, to always look for opportunities to either plant the seed of your Son or to harvest it if it has already been planted. We know, Lord, that sometimes the seed will fall on hard ground and will not bear fruit. Help us, Lord, to not be discouraged when this happens and to merely look for other souls who are ready. We also ask, Lord, that you help each one of us develop our own unique talents when it comes to spreading the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and patience in dealing with us as we struggle in this area. And please add souls to your church here and everywhere. In your Son, our Savior's name, amen.
Our thanks to these three men who have thought about their prayer and have led us so well tonight. We want to sing our final song, and we hope to you, and we want it to be an encouragement to you. It mentions trust and obey. If there's no obedience, there's no trust. And if there's real trust, it will lead us to obey him. So please listen to the song. Let's sing it to God and to one another as we stand, as we sing.